Psalm 55 and the verse 22 I draw your attention to this morning. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. This is the call of the overwhelmed one to overwhelmed saints. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I entitle it that this morning because it is a call. A call to cast your burden on the Lord. It's a call to burdened ones. It's a call to ones who are themselves overwhelmed and heavy laden. But it's also the call of one who is himself overwhelmed. We read the psalm. He himself is burdened. In other words, it's not the call of someone who doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. It's not the call of someone who doesn't himself have a burden. He's a burdened one himself. And this is what he does. And this is what he calls all who have burdens to do. The writer has been in the place where he's been overwhelmed. You see it, just for example, the verse 4 of Psalm 55, it says, my heart is sore pained within me. Terrors within. The terrors of death are fallen upon me, the most fearful terrors of all. This is how he feels. And trembling and fearfulness are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. That's where we get the word overwhelmed. He says, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with horror. And so the one who makes this call knows what he's talking about. And I'm not just talking about King David. Yes, David penned the psalm. He is the man in trouble and overwhelmed in this psalm. Terrors within and troubles without, and traitors beside him because he's been betrayed by a friend, and that's broken his heart. But it's not just David who's in the psalm. There's a greater than David here. This is messianic. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who's speaking in the spirit of prophecy. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, on the cross, overwhelmed, the terrors of death taking hold of him. He's been betrayed by Judas Iscariot, his friend, one who he went to the house of God with, who turned against him and his heel towards him. So the cross is in view, and Jesus our Lord is the one who's making the call. It's the call of one who was himself overwhelmed, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is one who knows and calls us. And he's the one who in fact said, you remember even on earth, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the one in this verse is speaking to us, and it's Christ. And this verse is like a window. I view it as a kind of a window at the cross. And Christ is suffering, and he's going through all the agony, and he's praying, and we're looking in at the window, and he sees us looking in at the window, and he addresses us. And it's the only time he addresses the reader with a pronoun. Cast thy burden on the Lord. As we look into the window of his sufferings, as we look at the cross, as we look at the one who's overwhelmed himself, we're looking in and we're asking, how do you bear it, Lord? How do you carry that burden, even to the cross? How do you do it? And he's giving us the answer, and he's telling us, and he's saying, cast thy burden on the Lord, and he will sustain thee. That's how. That's how. So it's the call of the overwhelmed one to overwhelmed ones. And maybe you feel like that this morning, child of God. Maybe you feel, I'm overwhelmed. I just can't carry this load anymore. Well, the Lord is speaking to you. Cast thy burden on the Lord. So we want to look at this text. There are four things in it. There's, first of all, there's a pressure that is felt. Thy burden. And then secondly, there is a person who is known. The Lord. And then thirdly, there is a performance that is to be carried out. Cast thy burden on the Lord. And lastly, there's a promise that is to be believed, and he shall sustain thee. So, first of all then, the pressure that is felt, thy burden. A burden, first of all, is a popular thing. Now, by popular, I don't mean it's something that you want, but by popular, I mean it's something that everybody has. The whole population has burdens. Burdens are popular. They can't be escaped. We all know what burdens are, and we're all going to continue to know what burdens are until the very day we die, and then we enter into our heavenly rest, and there are no more burdens. There's no escaping burdens. None. No escape whatsoever. Burdens are given to every human being. The book of Job tells us that so many times. Mankind is born onto trouble. Born to have burdens as the sparks fly upwards. Man, humanity, every man that is born of a woman is a few days, but full of trouble. Full of trouble. And being a Christian doesn't change that. It doesn't take away anything of that from our humanity as having to bear burdens. The wealth, health, and prosperity gospel of some is false. He who says God saved you, you will be trouble-free now, you will be trial-free, you will be burden-free. The man who says that is a false prophet. It's not true. We shall always have burdens. And so you see, does the man of God in this psalm, the man after God's own heart, is he trial-free? No, he is not. David wishes to be in the land of the prosperity gospel, I can tell you. He says there, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then would I fly away and I'd be at rest. If there was a prosperity gospel place, David says, that's where I would want to be. But there's no such a place, brethren and sisters. There's no such a place as a prosperity gospel rest place. It doesn't exist until we reach the heavenly shores. This is a world of woe. It's a world of sin, a world of Satan, a world of sinners, a world of sickness, a world of strife, a world of sore sorrows. In this world, our Lord Jesus Christ has told us, ye shall have tribulation. There's no escaping it. So God's people too have burdens to bear. They have crosses to carry. And the fact that they're saved does not change that. But not only is it a popular thing, it is a very personal thing, a burden. Thy burden. You see, our burdens are very different. What pressurizes me may not pressurize you. Your cross is not my cross, and my cross is not your cross. And Jesus assures us that we have our own personal cross. Take up thy cross, he says. Not our cross, Not just any old cross, but we each have designed for us in the sovereign plan of God our cross. It's molded to our shoulder, and we are to bear it, and each of our crosses are different. So, child of God, don't think that some strange thing happens to you whenever you feel the pressures and the burdens of life. Don't think that you're just marked out as someone different. You remember how Peter said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." No, we all have our personal burdens, and the Lord knows this. So you're not alone in feeling the pressures of life. And you can't think, "I'm just the only one here today with burdens." You're not. We all have burdens. We all know what this pressure is, but our burdens are different, though they're very personal to us. None of us are carefree. We have to face them, and we have to bear them. Thy burden, the Lord says to you. He knows about it. Thy burden. A burden is not only a popular thing, it's not only a personal thing, but of course, it's a very pressurizing thing. It's heavy. It's felt. That's what's so painful about them. That's what's so difficult with them. The pressurize, they're sore felt. It shakes us to our frame, it breaks our hearts. It causes us to cry. It discourages our spirits. It fills us with fears. It takes away our joys. It gives us a spirit of heaviness. It creates anxiety, sadness, and even can lead to despair. The sore trial, the burden so pressurizing us, can take a toll on our mental, emotional, and even our spiritual state. It can even overwhelm us. Horror hath overwhelmed me. Maybe you've never felt overwhelmed. Well, then that's such a long mercy to you. But I tell you this, one day you will. One day you will. There's no escaping it. Life's not easy. So there are the pressures of the burdens. And you study all the Bible characters, and we haven't time to go through them all. But you study Joseph. You ask Joseph about burdens, what his brothers did to him, how he ended up in Egypt, and all the false accusations and the slander that he had to face and prison. He had heavy burdens as a young man hanging over him. And then ask Hannah, and the other wife had all the children, and she had none. And she was being ridiculed and maligned and attacked by the other woman in the marriage, and her heart was broken. And she was in danger of getting bitter, bitterness of soul, and bitterness of soul is a terrible thing, and that's what burdens can do. It can make you bitter. And that's why you have to do what this verse tells you to do, so that you don't become bitter. And then ask David and ask our Lord Jesus Christ about burdens and the pressure of them. Now ask a man of sorrows. Ask him who died for our sins and carried the burden of our sins, our awful sins. He carried that load. So ask him. Ask all these Bible personalities about pressure, and they'll tell you. So burdens are no easy thing, brethren and sisters. And I know for sure that there are some here this morning, and they have them. And I'm not a prophet. I just know human nature and human experience. I'm a Bible. There are some here this morning who have these burdens in their life. And if there's others who are carefree, you won't always be. The storm will hit. Pain will come. Sickness will come. Loss will come. Problems will come. Assaults of Satan and sinners will come. Persecution at the workplace will come. Treachery, betrayal, and death. They're all coming. There's no escape. In some form or other, storms will come. So burdens are popular, burdens are personal, and burdens are terribly pressurizing. A pressure that's felt. But then secondly, there's a person known. Because in the text, there are actually two persons in the text. It says they're cast die, burden. That's one person. The person who has the burden, that's you, child of God. You're in the text. You're in the verse. Have you got a burden this morning? You're in the verse. You're in here. Doesn't say your name, but you have a burden, and therefore that puts you in the text. You're in the Bible. But not only are you in the text, there's another person in the text. The Lord. The Lord's in the text. Praise his name. There's someone who's near you. There's someone who's beside you. You're not alone. You're not alone, child of God. You're never forsaken. Whatever the trial, whatever thy burden, there is someone beside you. There's someone near to you. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus. Our blessed and dear Savior who has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I'm with you always on to the end of the world. The Lord, he's there, and he shall sustain thee. He's there. So the verse is only of any use if you know the Lord. You can only do this if you know the Lord. There are people who have burdens, and because they don't know the Lord, and because they don't have faith, they cannot bring them to him. They don't know him. But you know him. Your Savior, your Lord. You know him. And you can perform the verse. And you can bring your burdens to him. And you can come before him. You can cast them on the Lord. You have to be a believer to benefit from this verse. Because you have to have the Lord. You have to know the Lord. And you have to have faith and trust. And only a believer has that. And so you, child of God, have a Savior. And you have faith. And you have the gift of prayer. And there is something that you can do to that Lord and with that Lord. And there's something very special about the Lord that I have to tell you about before we go on to our next point. The person in the text. What's very special about the person in the text? Something you need to know about this person. Now, there are many things we need to know about this person, but there is one thing in particular that we need to know. And Peter tells us this, because Peter quotes this verse. He actually quotes this verse in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him. That's what Peter says. He takes this verse out of the psalm, and he's writing to the scattered believers, and he says, you have to do this. You have to cast all your care upon the Lord. And then he tells us something about the Lord. For he careth for you. And that's what you need to know about him. You need to know there's one who cares. Even perhaps when you say, oh, there's nobody cares, no one understands. Peter says, yes, there's one. The Lord cares. He careth for you. And that's one thing you have to know about the Lord. Never say he doesn't care. Do you remember how there was a storm in the life of the disciples, and they were on the boat and the Lord Jesus was asleep? And do you remember how in their panic, and they were experienced fishermen and they knew all about storms, but this was altogether a unique storm. They never had experienced the lake before. and they woke him up, and they said to him, Master, do you not care? Do you not care? Imagine saying that to the Lord. Lord, do you not care? And Peter says, because he learned that lesson in the boat. He learned that lesson in the boat. He was never going to say that to the Lord again. And he says to all the believers, he does care for you. He does care. And so, brethren and sisters, that's the one thing you need to know and believe, that he cares. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? Can't sing anymore. My harp's hung in the willows. Does he care? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the days grow weary and long, does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. He cares. You maybe ask them, well, why does he allow it then? And I have to say, brethren and sisters, I don't know. For his glory somehow? For your good somehow? I don't know. You will have to ask him in heaven. But now you are to trust him and rest in his care. That's what you're to do. And so there is a person who's near and who cares. And then thirdly, there is the performance or the duty that is to be carried out. Cast it upon the Lord. Cast it upon the Lord. Don't carry it on your own regardless. You're not to be stoic. You know, stiff upper lip, never shed a tear, that kind of thing. That's not Christianity. That's not biblical. That's not how you cope with life. And you don't unnecessarily wear down others either, casting it all upon them all the time and making them as depressed. Now, we can share burdens and we can seek human counsel, but we must always set bounds and limits on that, brethren and sisters. The only thing that really works and that we must primarily do is just bring it to the Lord. At the end of the day, he's the only one who really cares, and he's the only one who truly cares, utterly, 100% sincerely cares, and he's the only one who can help. And so it's the Lord Jesus. And he gives special calls to burdened ones to do that. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I. It's me, you see, Jesus says. I am the rest giver. I will give you rest. And so he gives a special call, and he has this special sympathy because he has all this experience as the overwhelmed one in his humanity. So he knows, he's been there. You'll never go any lower than Jesus Christ went. You'll never have stronger and higher floods flowing over your head than Jesus Christ had. Never. So he knows. And you are to bring it to him. And he has all the power and all the sympathy and all the wisdom, the infinite wisdom and all the supplies of his mighty Holy Spirit to sustain you. He's the only one. Do what Hannah did. We mentioned Hannah, bitterness of soul. I'm going to hate that other wife. Bitterness of soul. But what did she do? In bitterness of soul, she prayed unto God and wept sore. Nothing wrong with weeping. Nothing wrong with letting your tears talk to God and letting him hear the voice of your weeping. She wept sore. She continued praying before the Lord. Eli marked her mouth, you remember. And you know what the Bible says? She had cast it just before the Lord. That's all she was doing. She was just casting it before the Lord. He thought she was drunk. But no, she was just casting it all before the Lord. That's what she was doing. And David's doing that in the psalm, isn't he? As we read this whole psalm, what's he doing? What is this psalm? This is just David just casting it all before the Lord. How he feels, the terrors within, and the traitor who did this to him. He's just casting it all before the Lord. That's all he can do. He's encouraging himself in the Lord. Casting it before the Lord. And that's what you have to do. So there's a pressure felt. There's a person known. There's a performance commanded. And lastly, there's a promise given. A promise to be believed. He shall sustain thee, the text says. Just as the burden is personal, thy burden, so the sustaining of God's grace is personal. He shall sustain thee. Thee now. Not your burden. You. He'll sustain you. That's what he sustains. He sustains us. So carefully attend to what it doesn't say. It doesn't say he will necessarily carry the burden and take it away. It doesn't say that. That's what the prosperity gospel says. He'll take it all away. He'll take all your sickness away. He'll take all your problems away. He'll take them away. That's the prosperity gospel. It doesn't say that. He doesn't necessarily take them away. No such thing in the text is promised. No such a universal promise as that is given ever to any child of God. No, he may be left with the burden still to carry and not be taken away at all. That's not the Lord's usual first approach to take away the problem. It's not. In actual fact, he has brought it in his sovereignty and allowed it. Did he take away Paul's thorn? That was a real burden to Paul. He was so pressurized by it that he had to have 3 special seasons of prayer just to ask the Lord, take that away, Lord. Take away that thorn. Take away that problem out of my life. Take it away. And you know what the Lord said? No. I'm not taking it away, Paul. You need it. But I'll sustain you. My grace is sufficient for you. I'll sustain you in it and through it. The Lord doesn't always take our burdens away when we cast the whole thing before him. Take a man who has the burden of physical blindness and he comes before the Lord with this burden. Does the Lord give him new eyes? It doesn't happen. He has to carry that burden of blindness to his deathbed. A man who gets his leg amputated has had a terrible tragedy in work. He's got his leg amputated. He has to bear the burden now of only ever having one leg and all the limitations that would carry on in his life. A great burden. He brings it and casts it before the Lord. Does the Lord give him another leg? No, he's to bear that to the grave. The Lord has brought that into his life and he has to carry that to the grave. You lose a spouse or you lose a child, that's a terrible burden, terrible loss. And it breaks your heart and you weep every day about it. But the spouse doesn't come back and the child doesn't come back because you have to bear that to the grave. He doesn't take them away. He sustains you in it and through it. That's what he does when you bring it to him. He helps. So this is a promise to sustain. Now, with no time to do a biblical word study on the word sustain, I suggest that you go home and get your Strong's Concordance and look up the 36 verses where this Hebrew word occurs. But there are 4 ideas that are latent in the word. The first one is the idea of support, maintaining, upholding, sustaining. so that you don't go under, so that you don't sink, so that you don't be overwhelmed. When the waters come, they come high, but he holds you up so that when you pass through the waters, they do not overflow thee. He sustains you. He holds you up. Somehow, he gives you grace. Somehow, he carries you through it. So that you don't drown, so you don't despair, so that you don't have to go out there and commit self-murder. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And if you cast your burden on the Lord, he sustains you. He sustains you. It also has the idea of nourishing, feeding you. Because when pressures come and trials come in life, the danger is spiritual famish, a famine, and you feel so lifeless, and you feel that you just don't have the life of God in your soul anymore. You feel spiritually dead. And the Lord, if you cast it on the Lord, he promises to nourish you through it, to feed you, to sustain you through his word, to bring his word to you. That will feed you and carry you through, because, brethren and sisters, we need the word to carry us through. There's nothing else that does it. But when he comes with a word, maybe this morning it's the very thing, he's maybe nourishing you through his word. It's his word that is doing it. He's sustaining you by his word, by his promise, by the realization of who he is and what he has done in the cross of Calvary. He's nourishing you. And that sustains us. That gets us through. And then it has the idea of guide as well. He guides you, because when pressures come, you can hardly look up. You hardly know where to go. You're pressed down. Which direction do I go? Which turn do I make? You just can't see far ahead. You're pressed down. You're pressed down. You just can't see the whole picture. And he guides you through the maze, through the labyrinth of all that comes about whenever that trial hits. He guides you. The promises in this word sustain, it has that idea of guidance latent in it. And then, of course, it has the idea of contain. He shall contain thee and contain the situation. One of David's big problems is the enemies round about him. And I find in the life of Christians today, I find that many of their problems are coming in work and their interaction with the ungodly are bringing great trials to God's people. It's very hard in the workplace today for a Christian. But you have to bring it to the Lord. And one of the things is he contains the situation. He contains the enemy. He contains the persecutors. He holds them back at the limits that only he allows them to go to. So he contains the source of the burden. He keeps it in bounds. He keeps it in bounds so that it doesn't totally overwhelm us, because he knows what we can bear. And he does with the trial make a way of escape. So there's this word, contain. So that's just a quick outline of the meaning of the word. So child of God, you have a Savior, a dear loving Savior, a curing Savior. Rest upon him. Trust in his care. And look to him to sustain you through this time. And if you're not saved, you know, if you're not saved, what do you do with all your burdens? What do you do when the storm hits and you're not even saved? How do you go through life without a Savior? Burdens, burdens, and burdens, and especially the load of sin, and no Savior. How do you do, sinner? You need to get to Christ. So let's pray then.